Welcome to another exciting brand new edition of The Thought Police. I'm Mike Graham and you are?
Peter Mandelson.
Peter Mandelson. Yeah, you haven't got much to do these days, I suppose, have you?
Do you want to know a story about Peter Mandelson? I don't know if you've heard this. True story. Yeah. So we're recording this on Wednesday. He got sacked, when was it? Like end of last week.
Last Thursday.
A week ago.
After Keir Starmer said he had full confidence in
him. Yeah. So getting on for a week ago. He's still in the ambassador's house.
Is he?
In mansion in Washington. Fabulous mansion.
Fabulous place.
And do you know why?
Yeah, why?
Because his dog, his collie called Jock, isn't very well.
Right.
So for some reason that means he stayed in the house while his dog gets veterinary treatment.
Dear me. Also, presumably if he's going to come back to Britain, he needs to bring the dog with him, which will take a bit of organising.
But apparently the reason is it's that Jock isn't very well.
Mind you, knowing Mandelson as we do, that's the kind of thing he would come up with to go, I can't move out of the house yet.
Sort of, maybe. But if that story's true, I'm sure it is, then, for the first time, almost in my life, I've got some sympathy for Peter Mandelson. Nobody likes their dog not to be very well.
I know
that because I'm going through it myself.
Yeah, that's true.
But apart from that, he can go and fuck himself.
Well, I mean, to be honest, you wouldn't believe a fucking word the guy said, would you? So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily trust him on anything. But if it does turn out to be true, then fair enough. But, had an absolute shit show. I mean, we haven't had a chance to do this. You were away.
Yeah, I've been away.
Probably three, four weeks or so. It's good to be back. I mean, fucking hell.
Yeah, we missed a lot, haven't we? Don't forget, when I was on vacation.
When you went away.
We missed
Angela Rayner, didn't we?
was still
in place. Charlie Kirk was still alive. Yeah. Peter Mandelson was still the fucking ambassador. And Keir Starmer was not quite as much shit as he is now. I mean, he was in some shit, but it just gets worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, let's return to Mandelson in a minute. I mean, because it's all part and parcel of Keir Starmer. I mean, we have now reached, what I would suggest, and this isn't just, a natural political enemy of Keir Starmer and Labour saying this. This isn't to do with politics. We have reached peak crisis with this fucking idiot Prime Minister's incompetence.
Totally.
He is fucking useless, and everybody knows it. People in his own party, people around the country.
Yeah.
That big Unite the Kingdom march on Saturday. Everyone's going, oh, it's Tommy Robinson's story. Tommy Robinson helped to arrange it. Tommy Robinson's supporters went there, but they were just a very small part. They were a faction of it.
Right.
That was a convergence of people from all walks of life.
I've got friends, right? A woman who actually is my financial advisor, believe it or not, who's not at all somebody that you would think is particularly political. She was there, People that are just ordinary working families went with their children, And everyone said to me, apparently, I was out of town in Sussex, everybody said it was really lovely, and the fact that it was so friendly, it was very British. People were like just apologising to each other, bumping into each other,
I sort of saw it because, I went through central London because I was going to the football to see Fulham, so I have to go right through central London.
Oh, okay.
And I got off the train just to have a look. Mm. The party atmosphere was just all-consuming. Yeah. It was people were having fun.
Yeah.
Bands playing, people dancing and God knows what.
Yeah.
So this idea that it was an explosion of far-right hate, it's just not true.
Yeah.
What it was a focal point for national fury and national terror.
Yeah.
Over this government.
Right.
It is frightening how fucking useless they are.
It really is.
That's what that was all about on Saturday. And people, fucking Sadiq Khan.
He said,
if you were people were terrified on the streets of London on Saturday. No, they fucking weren't.
Nobody was terrified.
It's up in the air how many people actually went. So the police said 110 to 150. Many people thought 200, some half a million. And a lot of people who were there don't think it's an exaggeration to say that maybe a million were there.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever the number.
I suspect a million is probably, I think it's probably about half a million.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gonna be sensible.
Whatever the number, Mike.
Yeah.
It was fucking vast.
Yeah.
How many arrests? 25.
Yeah.
25.
It gets better, though, because, of those arrests, only 8 of them, it turns out, were for people who were actually on the march, and all the rest of them were the left-wing protesters.
So, you mean they stopped?
So, actually, the majority of the people that got arrested were not actually at the march. Yeah. They were protesting against the march.
Yeah, so there you have it. That is an extraordinarily low number of arrests for an event of that size.
Yeah.
In fact, the cops, I saw it, the cops were standing around bored out of their fucking heads. They had nothing to do. It was not violent. It was not hate-filled. And it was not a Tommy Robinson event. I've got nothing. Tommy Robinson and his followers, you know, good for them. They're there. Tommy Robinson helped to arrange it, but they were just one small part of this massive explosion.
And one of the things as well that was criticised was some of the speakers, as they did have some kind of rather strange speakers that had been brought in from, you know, weird parties in Europe, and some quite sort of anti establishment figures.
People that you might call far right.
And people that you might call far right, but again, most of the people on the march didn't see any of that.
Yeah.
You know, he did an interview with Elon Musk, who seems to have gone completely insane, telling people that they have to rise up and fight, you know, in a foreign country where he doesn't live. And you're kind of going, well, that's not particularly helpful. Yeah. And it's really none of your fucking business, you sort of South African maniac, you know.
Yeah, also, so don't forget Jordan Peterson, the philosopher, was there.
Sure.
I mean, you're right.
So it was a broad church, right?
But
most of the people didn't even know that those people were speaking because they didn't get near the stage.
Yeah.
And you couldn't hear it.
Yeah, but this march, this coming together of a huge crowd from all over the country, all over the world, actually.
Yeah.
People came from all over the world.
Yeah.
This was a howl of despair over this government. This country has never seen anything like it against a government.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are sensible people in the Labour Party. There are even sensible people in the cabinet. And they all fucking know.
Yeah.
This guy, Starmer, he's got to go.
He has
no fucking good.
Well, he's lost the room. He's lost the entire fucking nation. And even ordinary kind of what I would call middle-of-the-road commentators are now saying the things that I've been saying for about a year, that he just cannot fucking last. And look into his eyes, and they're dead. He knows he's done. He knows he's finished. I mean, I was just watching this afternoon Starmer at Windsor, you know, where Trump's getting fated for his second state visit. And he just looks like a bloke who doesn't even want to be there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, he's sitting there. He's got nothing to do. He didn't welcome... he's getting a bit of criticism, actually. He didn't welcome President Trump as he came off the plane. Didn't put a red carpet down for him.
He sent Yvette Cooper.
He sent Yvette Cooper and also some guy, some diplomat.
He should have been there. I didn't think about that, because I was actually... you know, covering it live on air last night. I should have said that. Where the fuck is Starmer?
I think William greeted him today at Windsor, and that was sort of the first official...
That was the deal, yeah.
Official greeting. And so Starmer hasn't got much to do today. Tomorrow it's all going to be going on at Chequers, so I think they'll have a proper conversation then. Yeah. But, you know, Trump must know. I mean, that's the other thing. People say, oh, but, you know, one thing Starmer's done is he's got a good relationship with Trump. No, he fucking hasn't. Trump treats him like a little fucking minion, like a little prick, who he just tells... He says, jump, and he goes, how high? You know, because Starmer is terrified of Trump. Knows that he's got power over him. That's why Trump likes him.
Yeah,
because he can push him around.
You know, and Starmer was hoping to get zero tariffs on steel, no dice.
Still hasn't fucking got that.
You know, so...
I mean, it doesn't really matter about cars anymore, because the only car manufacturer from Britain that's trying to sell a lot of cars in America, Jaguar Land Rover, have given up selling cars since they got hacked. Yeah. And they can't actually... They're actually not producing any fucking cars. Useless twats.
Fucking hell. The thing about Trump is, you know, he is Teflon Trump. He's used to people calling him a cunt.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
He doesn't really care. But insofar as he does worry about these kinds of things, I know that he is, shall we say, frustrated by the backdrop to his arrival.
Yeah.
In other words, and the king, King Charles, is fucking incandescent with rage about the absolute shambles, the fucking clown show of the Peter Mandelson affair. That is all down to Keir Starmer.
And it could have been avoided, because, you know, the idea... You see, Ed Miliband was on fucking one of the channels the other day saying it was basically all the media's fault, that the media didn't kick up any fuss when Peter Mandelson got the job. Absolute bullshit. Loads of people were writing in the media and talking in the media that Mandelson is really not a guy that should be giving this fucking job. And in fact, I think I said at the time, I didn't think he was going to get it because of his past and because of his fucking his friendship with Epstein, and also his unfortunate proclivity to hang about with very, very rich, corrupt people.
Yeah. You know? Exactly. The trouble with Mandelson is he's bribeable. If you're a rich guy, or a rich woman for that matter, offer him to stay in your luxurious home in New York or the Caribbean, offer him a free holiday on your super yacht, and he's in your pocket. He's in your pocket. He always has been.
Well, he's your friend at the very least.
So you know, we hear, these people are all the fucking same. You know, we hear that it's Tony Blair who's essentially said to Keir Starmer, get Mandy into that job.
Right.
Tony Blair, the man who had to fire him twice
for
ludicrous scandals. Now, what I say about Peter Mandelson is, I'm not challenging his intellect. I think intellectually he's quite a clever guy.
Yeah.
He's obviously a very good, slimy kind of backroom political operator.
No question.
But, you know, people get cleverest man in Parliament. He's not. He's a stupid fucking cunt.
Right.
You know.
Well, if he was that clever, he wouldn't have written a fucking email to a convicted paedophile saying, I think you were badly stitched up and what you should do is challenge it.
Excuse me. You know, clever people don't get caught once.
No.
Clever people certainly don't get caught twice.
Yeah.
And clever people don't get to court three times.
No.
It's a fucking hat trick of arrant stupidity.
It really
is.
But again, don't you find this to be true, though, of all politicians, that everyone in the world of politics, first of all,
they don't get it, do they?
First of all, they think they're really clever. That's why they're in
politics. That's right.
They think they're much cleverer than we are. And people say this is Starmer's problem, that he, unfortunately, believes himself to be far intellectually superior to almost everybody, which is, and, you know, he's clearly the thickest fucking man alive.
Thick as shit.
Because one of the things that proves it to me was that this week, apparently, when he was right in the shit, he was seen for the first time in the fucking Commons tea room and on the balcony of the terrace, right? Because he was suddenly now
trying to get mates.
And one of the criticisms of Starmer has been that they never see him there because he doesn't like hanging out with the riffraff and the hoi polloi. He prefers to just go back to Downing Street. Whereas now, he's so stupid, he thinks if he turns up in the fucking Commons tea room and says hello to a few MPs, they're all going to go, oh, great, Keir, we have such a great
guy. All his troubles are over.
What a complete fucking twat.
I mean, but it's just getting ridiculous. I mean, look at this fucking one in, one out.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the worst thing about this is, you know, we've been going, oh, it's none in, none out.
Right.
Or rather, 5,500 in, none out. But under the scheme, right, so that's slightly sort of gilding the lily, because the 5,500 who've come in from France since the scheme started in early August, obviously they're not actually anything to do with the one in, one out scheme.
No, they should be, because they should be being detained and examined and looked at, and if they're not here for any good reason, they should be getting fucking sent back.
Yeah, but only one in 17 is. I mean, I said, I'm sure
Yeah, but why is that, though? That's because they haven't got the capacity.
It's a shit scheme.
Yeah.
You know, I said this as soon as that they announced it. I said, you know, I may still be proved wrong. I said this on air time after time after time. I said, I'll bet my fucking house on the fact that this government does not get a single migrant out of this country into France under the one-in-one-out scheme, because any lawyer, right, they're going to go, hang on a second, so let me get this straight. You picked my client randomly out of 17 people.
Yeah.
So he is one person, the other 16 got away with it.
Yeah.
You go to a judge and say, that's not fair.
Right.
Judge will go, yeah, of course it's not. And if the judge says, well, bollocks, we're sending him back anyway, then you always knew the immigration lawyers would start citing the ECHR, human rights, modern slavery, which is exactly what they've done all week.
And as soon as Yvette Cooper announced it, but then sort of gave the caveat, well, of course, people will be allowed to make legal challenges, he just went, well, that's it then. It's not fucking happening. What's even funnier, right, though, is that on Saturday of this week, there's a plane load of migrants coming.
I know, that's what I was going to say.
Into fucking Britain, right? Which we're also paying for. We're paying their tickets for that. We don't really know who they are, but the French have said we can have them. So regardless of the fact that we've sent them nobody, they're sending us a load of fucking substitutes.
Yeah. So it's no British migrants out.
Yeah.
Loads of French migrants in.
Yeah.
This is a genius. Fucking... And do you know what the official Home Office quote was about this? the one in one out scheme is not a shambles.
Oh yes, I saw that.
The one in one out scheme is not a shambles. Yeah. Well, what the fuck is
I'll tell you what it is. It's a clusterfuck. Right? It's worse than a fucking shambles. It's worse than a
fucking clusterfuck clown show.
Omni shambles.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
And they sit there as if, you know, they're the cleverest people in the world, and they just aren't. They're fucking thick as shit.
Yeah, well, they love to say that you're right, the Westminster bubble gang, the parliamentary mob, they're like their own culture. And they love to say, he's the cleverest man in parliament. She's the cleverest woman in parliament, and all this kind of thing. Mm. And I always think, well, that's not saying much, is it? Because
really
most of them are thick as shit.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see that fucking oily twat, what's his name? Peter Kyle, the new business secretary.
Yeah.
He's out on the media rounds at the weekend after Peter Mandelson's sacking.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, well, it has been unfortunate. But, you know, Peter is a man of tremendous talents. No, he's fucking not.
he's good at getting fired.
And we thought giving him this important role, ambassador to Washington, was, and I quote, worth the risk.
What the fuck? But then it turns out...
What the fuck?
Right, then it turns out that Kyle is one of those sort of, you know, friendly faces for Mandelson, and he's one of his allies, which is exactly why he was defending him, and exactly why he was put out there. But he didn't even fucking know any facts, because they've all been telling lies. This is the trouble for Starmer. And Starmer's right in fucking in it up to his neck, because he's misled Parliament. You know, when he said that he had full confidence in Peter Mandelson...
He knew about the emails.
He may not have known about the emails.
He did, he said he knew about
precisely.
The
emails. Precisely, he knew them. He didn't know necessarily what was in them. This is what his stupid...
Of course
he has to. But the point is that he also said that the vetting procedure was all done properly, which it wasn't. Okay. And he fucking knew that as well, because the vetting took place after he got the job.
Listen, I had Trevor Kavanagh on my show the other night. Now, Trevor's a great talker. Obviously, he is the doyen of political correspondence.
Totally.
He's been fucking... He was reporting on Parliament back in the early 1970s, so more than 50 years. And he doesn't make rash statements.
No.
So I said, Trevor, but the Prime Minister's now saying that he did know about Peter Mandelson's emails to Jeffrey Epstein after he was convicted for a child sex offence.
Yeah.
But he says that he didn't actually know what was in the emails. And I said, do you think he's telling the truth? And Trevor went, no, he's lying through his teeth.
Yes.
So it was a barefaced lie.
But that's the thing, that everybody now calls him a liar. You know, I got complained about...
Because
there's no defence. Because I got complained about by Downing Street. They made a complaint to the fucking station, right, that I kept calling Keir Starmer a liar. And so all I did was I made sure that everybody who ever came on the show after that, I asked them, do you think he's a liar? And everybody said, including Kerry Badenoch. So everybody calls him a liar. Yeah. I don't think I've ever known a politician to be so useless. To be so transparently bad that you can call him a liar and then stand absolutely by it, because that's exactly what he is. He can't tell the truth about anything.
You're right, Mike. It is an extraordinary situation. The people like you and I, and in fact all the citizens of this country, can, with impunity, call the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, a fucking liar.
Yeah.
Because he is a fucking liar. He's like, you know, it is inconceivable that if he knew about those emails, which he said he did, that he wouldn't say, well, I need to look at them.
Yeah.
It's inconceivable. You know, imagine what, this is what he expects us to believe.
Yeah.
That somebody came to him, well, because we know that Bloomberg, the financial network, sent Downing Street a 2,000-word memo question about these emails on the Tuesday before Prime Minister's question times on the Wednesday. So what Keir Starmer is asking us to believe is that his aides, his Downing Street executives, Morgan McSweeney, people like that, chief of staff there, went to him and said, Keir, there's these emails that Peter Mandelson sent Jeffrey Epstein after Jeffrey Epstein was convicted of a child sex offence. It could be a bit of a problem. And Keir Starmer goes, OK, I don't need to know about those. I'll go into the House of Commons and I will give him my announce my full confidence in him.
OK, Keir Starmer is fucking stupid. He's not that fucking stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's just a lie.
If the first part of that was believable, right, and you gave him the benefit of the doubt, what he should have done is go into the Houses of Parliament and say in Prime Minister's questions, you know, we are obviously investigating some of the claims made in the recent Bloomberg article, blah, 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 blah. But as far as we know, Peter Mandelson hasn't done anything wrong. Or something like that, which would have been different from saying we have full confidence in him, right? Because that is another lie. Because he's trying to now make out that the reason he didn't know what Keir Starmer, what the email said, is that they'd asked a load of questions, and all he'd seen was the questions that had been sent to Peter Mandelson, and Peter Mandelson hadn't answered the questions, so he didn't know what the answers to the questions were. And you just think, well, hang on a minute. So basically you're telling us that until you heard about the emails, you were quite happy to fucking employ as the top diplomat in the Foreign Service, a man who would have access to all kinds of highly secure data and really, really confidential government, you know, business, when he was the best friend of a fucking paedophile, as long as he said he didn't fucking, he regretted it. For the Prime Minister, he didn't think it was a bad idea to give this guy the job. What a fucking absolute 24-carat
after the emails, you know, we all still love you, Geoffrey, even though you're a child sex screwer.
Yeah. He used to like to have 14-year-olds masturbating, apparently.
Fucking unbelievable.
What a fucking disgrace.
What a cunt. Mm. Anyway, listen. Starmer lied about that. Yeah. And the reason Starmer went into Parliament Wednesday, of his many mistakes, arguably the worst ever, he has got a full confidence. He's such a bad politician. I think he thought that they could, ride this out.
That seems to be his MO. He does that a lot, doesn't he? Because he doesn't answer questions. He dodges things, and he almost like waits for them to go away. Like, for example, the whole Trump business, bringing him here while Parliament was in recess because of all the conferences, so that he wouldn't have to deal with the questions that would be asked if he offered him the chance to speak to both Houses of Parliament, or he didn't get that. Do you know what I mean? And he hoped that the Mandelson thing would all go away because of conference season. Well, it fucking won't.
There's a book coming. Apparently, if you think Starmer's in this shit now, there's a book coming out very soon.
This is the fraud book, isn't
it? Yeah, and it's called The Fraud.
Yeah.
It's called The Fraud. Keir Starmer, Morgan McSweeney, and the Crisis of British Democracy. Yeah. It's by a guy called Paul Holden.
Yeah, I don't know him, do you?
No, I don't. But he says, if you think there's been some bad revelations about this government over the past 2 or 3 weeks, you wait till this book comes out.
Well, I ran into a guy the other day. I won't say who it was, but he's quite a senior Labour advisor in days gone by. And he said that his understanding is that there's a load of emails between McSweeney and Mandelson that are going to come out, which are going to be damning of Starmer.
I think McSweeney, the Bosie McBoatface, Morgan McSweeney, brilliant strategist, fantastic.
He's done it so
fucking
well.
Fucking useless.
He's
utterly
run the fucking
useless.
Government into the ground. Yeah,
utterly
fucking
useless.
Ginger twat.
He's the one who wanted Mandelson to get the job of ambassador.
Because he's Mandelson's boy, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So Morgan McSweeney's a Blairite, obviously. Mandelson's a Blairite. And that's why Morgan McSweeney wanted Mandelson in that job.
Yeah.
We know that Starmer's furious with McSweeney. They had a fucking great stand-up row after Prime Minister's question time when he said, I have my full confidence. Starmer shouted at him, you're supposed to protect me from things like this. And McSweeney went, I'm trying to protect you. You're trying to protect you, you're not doing very well, Morg. But anyway, this book, they say,
it's coming out in about a month,
will precipitate many more resignations.
Yeah.
But I suspect that before that, Mr. McSweeney will walk the plank.
I think so, because he'll probably go before Starmer. But somebody said to me again the other day, McSweeney's really the guy that holds it all together, because it wasn't that Starmer picked him, it was that he picked Starmer.
Yes.
You know, because he's the kind of architect of what they're doing. And so when he goes, the whole house of cards just falls apart.
Yeah.
It's already falling apart, but, you know, it will be fucking dead and buried.
Yeah, well, Starmer's apparently furious with McSweeney. He feels he's, you know, really fucked everything up. And he's got good reason to believe that. And would sack him.
Yeah.
except for McSweeney's the last person in Downing Street in Westminster who will bat for him.
Yeah.
So even though he doesn't like McSweeney, he's very pissed off with him. He's reticent to fire him, but from what we hear, you know, these emails, this book, McSweeney's probably going to have to go anyway. Yeah. And at that point, I mean, I think Starmer will genuinely consider his own future. He can't go on like this. No. This country can't go on like this.
No, it's absolutely disaster. Absolute fucking disaster. Anyway, that's enough about those wankers. let's talk about your central heating, because it's far
more interesting. Yeah, okay, so if I fucking get back from my corner.
How's the roof, by the way? Have they fixed the roof yet? Is it still leaking?
It's a flat roof. It always fucking leaks.
Yeah.
I get back from my holiday, and you know the way it is. Everybody in the autumn, they haven't used their heating all summer.
Right, so you have to fire it up.
Yeah, well, I fired it up. It did work for a couple of days, and then it fucked up. So I got a heating engineer around, and he said, look, you need it. He said, it's your thermostat. And, you know, he showed me the batteries. It just didn't. He said, it's gone dead. He said, you should get this excellent thermostat. I won't name the brand. Because I got it now, and it is good. I'll say that. The point is, though, you know what I want is a heating system. I don't give a fuck about all that setting the times and comes on.
So it comes on when you're out.
And it comes on at 8 and goes off at 10. I've never done that.
Yeah.
I just want a heating system where I switch it on and off.
Right.
You know. Anyway,
it's a simple question.
Yeah. So I said, I just want one. He said, well, you want to get this one. Anyway, cut a long story short, I have to fucking install an app.
Right.
So I now, here we are at work in London Bridge, I could turn my heating on and off.
This reminds me of a guy that I used to know, who was a friend of my sister's actually, who worked in Wall Street when they were really fucking, you know, absolutely kicking the arse out of it, you know.
Mm.
And they built this house in Connecticut. This guy was an English guy, right? He built this house in Connecticut. fucking huge, great mansion. For about $2 million or something, and he's very proudly showing off. We went up there for the weekend, and he's like, "Do you know I've got music in every room?" So he's got like, you know, a fucking like a little thing on the wall where he said I can play different songs in any room at the same time. I'm like, "Yeah, but you can only be in fucking one room, can't you? Why do you want to have music playing in different fucking rooms?"
I'm just the opposite of that, you know. I just don't want all this technology. Yeah. But anyway, so this guy. He spends about an hour putting all this thermostat thing in, and then he said, "Well, you've got your app in now." So I put the app in.
Yeah.
He said, "You should be able to turn it on now," and it just goes. It just beach balls.
Right.
So trying to connect, and we can't get the fucking thing to connect. So we phone up the company. He says, "Yeah." He said, "This happens every time." I said, what?
Great. Why didn't you say that before you get the fucking app?
It's not so fucking great then that you told me. By the way, it's 350 quid with his. It probably cost me 600 quid in the end. Anyway, so he gets on the phone with the company. They took 45 minutes to answer the phone. And then they finally did. We were on the phone to that guy for about 1 hour and 15 minutes trying to get it to connect.
Jesus.
And we finally got there, and it's in there now. And I'm still thinking, why can't I just have a fucking switch? Do you know what it's like, Mike? It's like cars now.
Yeah.
You know, your car goes wrong, and they always go, well, it's the computer.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, well, why did they put a fucking computer in there in the first place, you know? Technology. Unnecessary technology, fucking scourge of everything.
And of course, it's always the answer, isn't it? Well, this is great, this is going to be the answer. It's like having all these. I remember trying to get some fucking. I bought a load of wine, I went to Carfest and bought a bucket load of wine. And of course, the fucking cunts can't deliver it to me because one, my doorbell doesn't work, and it hasn't worked for about 4 years, which is fine with me because I don't really want to fucking see anybody. But normally, they just leave it inside the fucking front door, you know, in a block of flats where I live. But for some reason, they've now taken it away again, and they've got an app, of course, right? But there's no phone number on it. There's nothing. You can't actually ring anybody up. So I tried to get it to be redelivered. That didn't work because I thought, well, I'm not going to be there. So then I thought, I'll put it in the warehouse in Dartford, as I thought, I'll go and pick it up. And I must have been pissed when I made that decision, because I went, well, that's fucking stupid. It could take me like 2 hours to get to Dartford.
Fucking Dartford.
Right? And then load in the fucking... So I'm now sort of stuck in limbo. They've got... It's about 800 quid's worth of wine, right? It's now sitting in a fucking warehouse. I don't know where if I'm ever going to see it. So I'm going to basically wait for them to send it back to the people that I bought it from, and I'm going to tell them to send it to Sussex, where at least they can probably leave it if I'm not there, you know? But it's a fucking
I'm going
nightmare.
To fucking Dartford. I had to go to a party at Dartford on a Saturday night about a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
I went by train. It took me about 3 hours.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those hard places
so,
to get
to. It's
only
about 50 miles away now.
It's not that far. It's just by the Dartford Crossing, you know, the big sort of, you know, bridge over the fucking Thames. But it's a real. It's because the traffic is so fucking shit now, thanks to Sadiq Khan. You know, you could literally take 2 hours to get there and 2 hours to get back.
Yeah. So I finished on. I got a funny football story.
Yeah, go on.
So I went to Fulham, my first game of the season on Saturday, because I've been.
Because you've missed a few of them.
I missed. I was down in Cornwall watching on my laptop when we got beaten by Chelsea.
Right.
Let's not talk about that VAR decision.
No.
I'm still fucking furious about it. Missed the Man United game. But anyway, first game. For me, at home to Leeds on Saturday. I was really quite excited. I got a couple of drinks first. And
quite nice to have Leeds back in the Premier League, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, they're a terrible team.
Are they?
Yeah, almost as bad as us. But anyway, I stood there, or sat there, for fucking 90 minutes. It was the worst fucking football I've ever seen. It was just awful. I was talking to some Leeds fans in the pub afterwards. They were going, oh, you were fucking lucky and all that. I said, oh, fuck off, mate. There were two terrible teams out there. We were rubbish and you were even fucking worse. So there we were, get to 90 minutes. And there's like 6 minutes extra time.
Yeah.
So we get to 95 minutes and we're going, oh, just fucking blow the whistle. Let's get nil-nil. Let's get out of there. I was really depressed. About 15 seconds from the end, this sort of, we managed to get some crossover into the box from a corner. And one of their defenders appears from nowhere and basically does this flying header into the back of his own net. We're all going, what the fuck happened there?
So we
won thanks to an own goal. But the good news is, this will make you laugh.
Yeah.
Right. So we've bought a club record for nearly 50 million, 49 and a half million quid. Club record. We bought this Brazilian wonder kid. He's only 22 years old. No one had ever heard of him.
Right.
Let me tell you, he came on for the last 15 minutes because he's not match fit yet. He came on and he was like a bolt of lightning.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing player. He completely turned our game around, nearly scored himself, so we're thrilled about him. So you know that Brazilian players have this sort of fashion.
Yeah.
They get rid of their second names,
right.
Like they're Madonna or Cher or something.
Right.
So you got Fred and people like that. Well, guess what this guy's called?
Go on.
Kevin. So
fantastic.
So the crowd, because we're playing like shit. So about 20 minutes to go, they go, bring Kevin on. And then he comes on, absolutely dazzled.
Fantastic.
And the crowd are going, Kevin, give us a wave. So I'm in with all my mates. They're going, go on then, Kev. So
fantastic.
So I'm waving away. It's going to be a funny season.
It's going to be a funny season. Fucking brilliant. Yeah. Excellent. Well, good to be back doing the Thought Police.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably so much more we could do, but we're going to cut it there.
We'll get cracking again next
some
week.
Some other shit to do. And meanwhile, all you can do is run a countdown clock now on fucking Starmer. I'm going to say it doesn't last until Christmas, and we'll see how that goes.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Fucking hope
anyway,
so.
Fuck you.
Useless cunt.